We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, so I like this Robert Kennedy stuff because it's somebody talking about something that matters and telling us a truth. That is that the government is no good and the government can't be trusted and the government is out to get us.
When Congress gives Joe Biden the power to remove an app from your cell phone, ironically, Joe Biden himself just joined TikTok.
He did.
People love TikTok.
The campaign
it's
did.
It's the digital public square. If there are security concerns in the tech backend, let's address them there. But let's never reduce Americans' ability to freely exchange ideas. TikTok has become an avenue for young Americans to grow businesses, to express themselves, and to join the political discourse.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain why it shouldn't be regulated to protect America from theft. But I think the argument doesn't hold up for other reasons. As I said, TikTok's been around for a while. The Chinese government is effectively a co-owner of every company that operates in China. And it can command them to do whatever it wants. So why would we think for a second that China doesn't have already the government access a pipeline even set up where the data flows freely and can be captured by the government? And by the way, the Joe Biden government was ordering social media companies like Twitter to spy on Americans, to censor their posts, to devalue the presence of people on the social media platform. The government was doing this. They had a department in the White House that was monitoring and curbing the activities of individual Americans based on what the White House wanted. 860-522-9842. So why would we be worried about TikTok now? Let's get a little traffic update. Mark Christopher, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. What's happening this afternoon?
It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Oh, yeah, it's WTIC. Thank you for being here. We're happy for your presence. 860-522-9842. We are happy you're here. Yes, it's good that you're here. It's good for everybody involved. All right, so there's a number of topics on the table here. Most of them revolve around this simple theme of government trust. Do you trust government? And if you do, why? And what would be the nature of your trust? To what degree do you trust government? How far will you trust it? What personal information, what level of financial commitment would you, to express your confidence in government? How far would you go in that? Is it like a best friend? Somebody you went to college with and have kept up with all those years, and you look back proudly on the whole thing. There hasn't been a bad moment. I don't know. I'm kind of obsessed with this, but It's a really curious situation that we have this built-in faith. All right, I want to run something else by you, too. There is a thing called the Mew Haven Cat Cafe. Mew Haven, yeah. I know, there's something about animals that just inspires really bad puns. And there is a new cat cafe coming to Connecticut, as it was inspired by New Haven's Mew Haven Cat Cafe, which opened last year. It was discovered by a woman named Beth Dryzak, according to the current story, 54-year-old Glastonbury resident. She's getting her wish. She's opening a cat cafe, Marcy's Angels Cat Cafe, which is going to open in the midsummer of some year, but I don't know what year it is. I guess this summer, and it's going to be on Main Street in Glastonbury. And this is fascinating to me, because people love cats so much. People love their pets so much. You love your pets so much. And yesterday, I was reading about a dog store, a dog cafe elsewhere. Well, not a Connecticut thing. But it's just funny to me, because I read about this yesterday in some national publication. And now here it is, about to happen in Glastonbury, a cat cafe. So what do you serve at a cat cafe? If your cat, if you were taking your cat out for drinks, say, what would you want on the menu? What would be the thing you would want to treat your cat to? Would it be a hot chocolate? Would it be a cup of coffee? All right, the idea of the Cat Cafe is a for-profit business. But the passion that's being brought to it is one for cats and getting adoptions done for cats in need. And that's where the emotional hook is, because people love their cats and people love cats and people want to help cats who are being abused or being deprived or just need a new home. The cafe will house as many as 10 cats that are up for adoption. All cats will come from East Hartford's Protectors of Animals, where Dryzak is one of many volunteers. And the cats will be fully vetted and cared for and all that kind of stuff. The cafe will be on one side of the business. This is the part that interests me, the cafe for the cats. And the lounge and the business are one part, and the cats are on the other side. Drinks and baked goods will be provided for purchase by local businesses such as Sweets by Jenna of Rocky Hill and New England Coffee Guy of Newington. You buy a ticket and you get 50 minutes to visit with the cats. Reservations are preferred, which will happen on the website, but walk-ins will be welcome as well. There'll be special events and stuff like that, but I still don't really feel this dynamic of what a cat cafe is for and why you would want one. But I do know that there's a business opportunity here, so I just want to find out what it is. Because people love their animals. You love your animals, right? 860-522-9842. So describe your animal love, please, and what would you want in a cafe if you had a choice? By the way, do they allow cats? Are cats not banned from places like dogs are? Fritz is calling from Berlin, and Fritz is a cat specialist. Hi, Fritz.
No, I'm not a cat specialist. Come on, Todd. You're funny.
What do you mean? You're big into cats.
I know. I take my cat with me lots of places. I bring him to the store. I bring him to the grocery store. I love a cat cafe. That'd be kind of neat. Sit down with your cat and have something to eat. I think it's a great idea.
What would the cat think of it, though? Would the cat go along with the structure that a restaurant experience represents?
I have no idea, but to be honest with you, the cat has its own. He's got his own
agenda.
His own state of mind. That cat, he's just going to like take off and go hang out with the other cats probably and forget all about the process.
Well, so that presents another opportunity, which is you as the cat owner, you're then left with the other cat owners and you can socialize with them while the cats socialize.
That's true. The next step we got to do is to get him on a leash because he's getting too big now. He's 30 pounds.
Wow. So you're worried that you're worried that he might damage something.
He's just too heavy to carry. carry him for 20 minutes, a half an hour in a store, and your arms are about to fall off.
Can you explain, please, how where the power in the cat-human relationship comes from?
I think it's more of just like a friendship. You know, and then they look at you like, you know, I think they consider you like their best friend. You provide for them and take care of their litter box and feed them and all. But they do want to be like, they want to be rodent catchers. And they get so proud of it, they'll bring you the rodent.
Oh, isn't that the weirdest thing?
And the cat will like go right up on top of you in bed. And here's your treat. Thank you so much, plop.
Yeah, here's your dead mouse. Aren't you proud of me?
John, one time I had my old cat, the orange cat. Chased the mouse all around the whole house, knocking books down and stuff. About 2 o'clock in the morning now,
yeah.
It chased the mouse up my leg and it pounced on me and started tearing at me, trying to get to the mouse. And he was going up and down my pants and my pants.
Oh, you became the impediment.
The cat jumped right on me because it was a mouse. He went right up my pants into my pajamas.
That's great.
You can't make this stuff up.
All right, so you're in for the cat cafe.
Oh, they should have more of them. I think it's good. And plus, like you said before, if they're going to do cat adoptions and stuff, the people that do the adoptions, they want to know that the owners are going to take good care of the cats, and they'll give them interviews and background checking and stuff, but they want to give their kitty a good home.
Yep. Anyway. All right, Fritz. Thank you for that.
All right, Todd. It's nice to talk to you.
Nice to hear from
have
you. Thanks
night.
For giving the call. 860-522-9842. Do you... I like to complain about the federal government and how big it is. The federal government employs 5,159 German Shepherds. Talk about pet owners. Not just German Shepherds, but Beagles and Jack Russell Terriers. And but they 5,159 dogs. How about that? So there could be, you know, your dog could be earning some keep. John in West Hartford. Hi, John.
Hi. This is a fascinating topic because I think the cafes are great, should be for dogs too. But follow me on this a little bit. If you want to go out for cocktails, you can bring the cat or dog with you. You can have a few drinks. And now that we have this self-driving cars, you can put the cat or dog in the driver's seat. And if you get stopped, you can explain to the officer, well, this pet of mine identifies as a designated driver.
Ah, that's interesting. I wonder what the response would be if a Democrat-controlled government, which loves the idea of self-identity, why can't cats are people, too, I'm sure, that the left wouldn't argue with. And so if they declare themselves designated drivers, how can government stand in the way?
I know. I'm looking for loopholes here. I think this is a great thing.
I think you've created a situation that that has trapped them. You've created a box they can't climb out of. Cats and dogs are people, too. You can't deny their self-identifications.
A litter box they can't climb out of.
A litter box. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. That's thank it. You for that, John. Anything else?
No, that's all.
Appreciate your contribution to the conversation. 860-522-9842. Rant line in an hour. Yeah, that's about right. Okay, Michael in Higginham. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Todd. How you doing? Actually,
what's up?
It's kind of my wife works for Pratt & Whitney, so she's having to go over to Japan because she supports the F-35 stealth fighter program.
Mm-hmm.
This past spring, I went over there with her, and those cafes are everywhere. You can go to cat ones.
Wait, cat cafes are everywhere?
And they have owl cafes. We went to a otter cafe, and they had otters there, hedgehogs, and you can go into a little area where you can play with them, but they have, yeah, they're all around. They don't serve alcohol there, though, unfortunately.
Wait, so there's otters and hedgehogs just hanging out?
Yes, and you can go into a little, like a child pen area and sit down, feed them, have them drink water. It's really kind of wild.
Are they roaming around in the same space with you and you're unprotected?
When you're in the childproof setup, yes, they'll have like five of them in there.
Wow, because I got attacked by an otter last year.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to hang out in a cafe with that guy.
They might have to, maybe they give them some like Adderall or something.
to curb the anxiety. That could be. All right. Anything else, Michael?
No, that's it. You have a great day.
Thank you. Nice to hear from you. 860-522-9842. April. Hello there, April.
Hi, Todd. I have show dogs, and when we finish showing the dogs, especially the agility crew, we find local restaurants that will allow us to either take them in or a lot of outdoor seating. And we just go with the dogs, and they're all very well behaved, and they just sit. And sometimes people will walk by and not even realize that there's three or four dogs sitting under the table joining us.
I'm sorry, where do you do this?
So a lot of local restaurants. There's one that a group of us meet at this one place. It's an outdoor one, Maine Moose, up in Wellington area.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes up in Springfield, we've gone to some actually pretty nice restaurants, and they're like, oh, no, we'll let you sit in the back room, and you can go sit in there and bring the dogs in, and they'll sit under our feet, but they're very well-behaved.
Really? That's allowed with health codes, or are they letting you cheat?
A couple of the restaurants have allowed us to.
But do you know if they're breaking rules, having you bring the animals inside?
I don't know about those. I know there's like two up in the Springfield area that have allowed us in.
Okay.
But the other one is an outdoor one, and they welcome people and pets, and you just kind of go up and eat very good food, take the dogs for ice cream,
mm-hmm.
and they enjoy it. And it's a good social time. The crew of agility people, I know when they went out, there were a lot of outdoor venues, at Purina, around the Purina Farms area out in St. Louis. And that was like huge crews of people after the show would all go and eat. And you'd have, I don't know, people would come, they'd set their dog crates up under the shade, there'd be somebody playing music. It was great outdoor venues.
That's interesting. Thank you for sharing that information, April. Appreciate hearing from you. Fred in Middletown. Hi, Fred.
Hey, I heard from one health inspector one time that it's discretionary. There's no law against the dog.
Really?
And there's two places in Middletown where there's dogs all the time. One big full-service restaurant and another coffee shop. Yeah.
How does that feel when you're in the presence of animals inside a restaurant?
Fantastic. Dogs are like babies, man. They break the ice and so forth. And
might break a little too much ice, though, right?
No, they never. It's never been a problem. Never been a problem with
they
a dog.
They never jump off. I was at a friend's house once, and they had this huge dog, and it just jumped on the table. It wanted the food so bad. That doesn't happen in a restaurant.
Well, no. And you know what? It's about the individual. Anything might do anything at any given moment. I mean, a seal, a sheep, or what was it? An otter that attacked you? Where were you at the aquarium? Obviously.
No, I was just getting something out of the back of my car, and it was a little cold out, and the engine was warm, and he must have been chilling underneath, enjoying the glow of warmth coming off the car.
There you go, no wonder, yeah.
And then I walked up, and he thought I was there to steal his heat, I guess.
Yeah, he didn't know it was your car. All right, well, that explains it. You see, that was a perfectly rational explanation, you know?
There's always rational explanations. It doesn't mean it feels good to get bit, Fred. Come on, man. 860-522-9842. Yeah, there's always animals in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. We'll talk to one now. Mark Christopher is in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
All right, what's going on? 860-522-9842. Dave's calling from Brand Ford. Hello, Dave.
Wow, that's awfully quick. This is a little bit longer call. I'd like to talk about Pat Clark, the wedding officiant from New Haven who lost her job last month.
Okay, we've got about 90 seconds. You can fill it all up. Go ahead.
I think the lady who issued the wedding licenses lost her job because she violated the mayor's edict about reporting, you know, anything to do with immigration to federal authorities. Mm-hmm. But the independent report that he hired verified nearly all the stuff that she red flagged, including a man who twice applied in the same day with two different fiancés. Another guy, two different women in 2 days of the week. Couples who appeared not to know about each other. Couples did not know each other's names. Handlers who would instruct couples on what to fill out. And so Elicker was able to suffocate the whistleblower, but the veracity of her charges still stands. And I'd like to know who was investigating this large-scale immigration fraud, you know, to get green cards by using a wedding ceremony, you know, as a way to jump the line. Where's William Tong? Where's anybody looking into what actually is happening in New Haven?
Well, William Tong is not in the business of enforcing the law. But is this in the New Haven Register?
Yes, yes. I'll instruct you for what you want. Thursday, March 14th, there was a front page story by Elizabeth Moore. City worker told the feds about what they called green card marriages. These are clearly a scam. From the independent report, the evidence supports many of the applicants coming to New Haven were raising red flags, indicating a larger operation connecting couples for immigration purposes. Nobody's even looking into it.
All right.
This is a nightmare.
Thank you for the alert. I will make some phone calls down there and see who I can get not to take my call. Thank you, Dave. 860-522-9842. Well, that's how it goes down there, you know?
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
It's WTIC. Good afternoon. It's so nice you're here. And Chris Powell is here as well. ChrisPowellColumn.com. Chris joins us every week, updates us on the things that are aggravating him the most, and we try to alleviate that stress that he's feeling over the particular issues, which is hefty, the stress. Because I know the feeling. You look at the world and you say, why is it like this? Why do they do the things they do? But Chris, you do a great job of highlighting public policy distortions and really things that are clearly bad for we the people. So we appreciate you doing it, and thanks for being here today.
Well, I enjoy haranguing your audience, Todd.
And harangue you do. So you did a column on crime, which I think connected with people. Consequences for misconduct. Can you tell us what you were thinking?
Oh, I just was pointing out that the Democrats in the General Assembly keep putting in legislation to make it harder for people to know about crime. They keep putting in legislation to erase criminal records. And last week, they put in legislation to prohibit colleges and universities from asking applicants about their own criminal histories and disciplinary incidents in high school. And I just have to wonder if we keep erasing consequences for, you know, misconduct and crime, what is the incentive to obey the law? Kids might give a thought to their conduct in high school, thinking that, well, you know, if I really behave badly, I might not get into college. But, you know, now the Democrats want to tell them, don't worry, you can misbehave as much as you want in high school. You can even get convicted of a felony. We're going to prohibit colleges from asking you about that when you apply. I mean, this is just madness. You know, you were just talking with the fellow about the city clerk in New Haven who was reporting suspicious marriage licenses. She was basically hounded out because New Haven is a sanctuary city, and that immigration report she was making is contrary to city policy, but it's not contrary to the law. To the contrary, you know, anybody ordinarily has the right to inform federal immigration authorities about suspicion of violation of immigration law. You know, for a few years we've been seeing commercials that the government puts on TV and radio. They say, if you see something, say something. Well, this lady said something, and she was run out of her job for it. She chose to retire rather than go through the third degree in New Haven. And the irony is that while she, you know, may have been violating, you know, the city's regulations are themselves contradictory to federal immigration law. New Haven is a sanctuary city, a city that forbids its law enforcement officers from cooperating with federal immigration agents, a city that gives its own city identification documents to illegal immigrants to facilitate their lawbreaking. And, you know, here it is coming down on this clerk for, you know, trying to uphold the law. It's all madness, Todd.
The thing I've never understood about this idea of having a sanctuary city is that what you're saying to the world is we identify more strongly with people who violate our laws than with the nation that made those laws. They're essentially
New Haven.
Go ahead.
New Haven's principle is that anybody who breaks into the United States illegally and manages to get to New Haven should be left alone above the law. I mean, it's just mad. It's nullification of federal law. And when the segregationists in the South were doing nullification, you know, this was a huge moral crime. But nullification in New Haven is policy.
But it represents a certain disease having taken over the mindset of government officials. And how do they not be get forced to justify such a thing? So you have a clerk in the city who's doing the right thing, who's trying to uphold the law, and she's swatted aside. How does that happen with nobody standing up for her? How through the whole of Connecticut government there's nobody who's willing to go stand there and say, you know, have a press conference saying and point a finger at her and say, she's right, and I'm here to stand with her to say she's right?
Well, it happens because we elect the people who do this. I mean, look, New Haven is a far-left, politically correct city, and the political left in Connecticut and throughout the country believes that the United States should have no borders. It believes that everybody should be admitted into the country without any vetting at all. To a great extent, state government concurs.
I don't think they actually believe that.
Well, they're doing it. That's what their policy is.
They're doing it because it's good politics. It's like Governor Lamont and the two U.S. senators and the lieutenant governor endorsed Joe Ganim for re-election, but they don't think it's a good idea. They just think he's the guy, and we stick up for each other because that's how you do politics. It's a team sport.
Well, yeah, but we're talking about policy here, and the political left generally believes in open borders, generally believes that everybody should be admitted to the United States without even being asked a question.
I've never heard anyone argue that, though.
But that's how they behave, and we
I
see
know,
how they behave,
but they
and
don't
we vote them back in.
Well, yes. So it works for them politically, but they don't believe it. Actually, it seems to me. So, yes, New Haven is a left-wing urban place that is anti-American by nature because they've decided, the political class have decided that saying whatever their average constituent wants to hear, even if it's illegal, even if it's anti-American, even if it's immoral, even if it's plainly stupid and self-destructive, they still support it because it works for them, right?
Well, it works for them because their constituents let it happen. I mean, we can vote these people out. Look, the same thing is going on at the state level. I mean, back on February 2nd, Governor Lamont gave two national television interviews in which he said some remarkable things. He really kicked off the Democratic Party's what I think is a false pivot on illegal immigration. He said in these national TV interviews that U.S. immigration policy should be stricter, the southern border should be closed, and he had volunteered to President Biden the use of the Connecticut National Guard to enforce security at the southern border. But at the same time now, striking this national pose for stricter immigration law, the governor is proposing a law to take the drive-only indicator off the driver's licenses we in Connecticut give to illegal immigrants. The governor is afraid that if we keep the drive-only indicator on the illegal immigrant licenses in Connecticut, then if they're caught driving out of state and they produce their Connecticut license, the state that's looking at their license may not be a sanctuary state and may call the immigration authorities on them. So the governor on national TV says, oh, we need stricter immigration law. But back home, he plays to the open borders crowd saying, oh, we've got to take the drive-only indicator off the illegal immigrant driver's licenses because they might get caught in another state. Nobody in Journalism Connecticut is questioning them about this this contradiction. And I think that that's certainly one reason why this stuff happens is because the press will not ask critical questions about it. But this is state policy almost as much as it's New Haven policy.
Yes.
We don't let our state officers cooperate with the federal immigration authorities either.
Except they're self-conscious enough that the governor feels like he has to do poses that contradict that stance when he's in front of a broader audience, because he realizes there's no justification for a state or a city violating United States law where U.S. law takes precedence. They have no premise upon which they can legally do such a thing, except...
But it's more than that. He's confident that he can take a pose against illegal immigration on the national stage, but back home, he's confident that nobody in journalism will ask him about it.
Sure, because they've so completely convinced everybody that doing the wrong thing is the right thing to do.
Well, there's a powerful minority, possibly, in Connecticut that believes in open borders, that believes in letting everybody in, even if they're carrying a bomb in their backpack. And yeah, it's very anti-American, Todd. It may not be treasonous, but morally it is.
It is morally treasonous, yes. And it may sound like I'm arguing with you, Chris Powell, but I'm not, of course. I'm just trying to flesh out the issue. I just don't, I do disagree if what you're saying is you think most people agree with the policy. I just think that people are used to getting free stuff, and free stuff includes bad policy that's being distorted on their behalf. So if you are somebody who's been told over a course of years that nobody should be arresting your friends who came into the country illegally or your family that came illegally, at some point you become used to that and you like the people who allow your friends to break the law with impunity and you go along with it. But I hear nobody actually make an argument for why this is the case, because it would be an embarrassing thing to say in public, and you certainly wouldn't want to come on the radio and say you think that that federal law should be violated by inside the state by anybody who feels like they want to do that just because they like the people, or they represent a lot of those people who are here illegally. I mean, there's this huge gray area of illegality that automatically flows from this breaking of the law, don't you think?
Yeah, but I still believe we let it happen. I mean,
well,
look,
I agree with that.
We elect these people, and I think their position is indefensible. I mean, like I said, I think it's morally treasonous. But mm-hmm. where is the movement in Connecticut to start enforcing immigration law? I mean, the governor went on national TV and said, we've got to be stricter. But back home, no, we got to be looser.
Well, it's the same movement that seems to think permanent growth of government and never inspecting an appropriation to see if it should be reduced or a program to see if it should be eliminated, that's fine. The average person doesn't agree with that, but the power structure gets away with it because people benefit from the flow of money and from the special favors done in law for special people in a nation or in a state that doesn't celebrate equal protection.
Well, you know, people also are harmed by it. I mean, look, this flood of illegal immigration is driving down the wage base for menial labor. It's causing a huge worsening of our housing problem. It's causing terrible problems and expense for our schools, who have to try to educate thousands more kids who don't speak English. There's a lot of harms here, too. But who is articulating the harms?
Well, that's right. I mean, there's nobody who represents. We need an opposition party, don't you think?
Yeah, that would be very, very, very helpful in Connecticut. Look, just for the last 3 weeks, I was fighting with the Treasurer's Office and the Department of Social Services and the Governor's Office, all of them trying to prevent me from finding out if the children of illegal immigrants born in Connecticut can qualify for our new baby bonds program. Mm-hmm. The Treasurer's Office lied to me, you've got to ask Social Services about this. They run the program. I asked Social Services about it, and they gave me a little information, but they didn't answer the question. They wouldn't tell me what kind of insurance is involved here for the pregnant and illegal immigrants, whether it's Medicaid or something else. I went to the governor's office to, you know, ask them, can you straighten this out? I just want to know if the children of legal immigrants born here can qualify for baby bonds. The governor's office just pointed me back to the treasurer's office, said, the treasurer's office runs the program, you know, ask them. And I said, wait a minute, the treasurer's office denied running the program, at least denied it to me. Yeah. I had to sick a few state legislators on them to find out, yes, the treasurer's office runs the program. It lied to you when they said they didn't. And yes, the children of illegal immigrants born in Connecticut can qualify for baby bonds.
How about that? Wow. That's a good story.
Well, maybe I'll write it up, but it's just typical. And look, they can mess with me. I mean, I'm of no consequence. I mean, I write a column that nobody reads except you, thank God. if the Hartford Current or the Hearst Papers or the Connecticut Mirror would ask this question, it would get answered. It wouldn't be lied to. But they won't answer it, just like they won't ask the governor.
They won't write the column.
What about the pose you took on Bloomberg and CNBC on February 2? And how does this compare against your proposal to take the drive-only indicator off the Connecticut driver's licenses for illegal immigrants? They won't ask the question.
Yeah. Which is pretty damning, isn't it?
It's not how I grew up thinking journalism was, Todd. It wasn't... It wasn't how I saw journalism in my years at the
Well, newspaper. The journalism you got trained in, they threw in the dumpster. Gone. Sorry about that. We have to end on a bad note, I guess. But thank you for being here. Always nice to talk with you. Chris Powell, chrispowellcolumn.com. Chris is a fighter and a clarifier of the truth, and we thank you for that, Chris.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Chris Powell, how about that guy? Tells it like it is. It's fun to hear the truth get told right here on the radio. Yeah, and Mark Christopher does the same thing, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Sir Marcus, tell us, please.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.